I am going to break a little from where I was originally headed with this sermon series because I open up the paper and look at the news and look at social media, and so much is happening now that it's hard for me as a student of prophecy and as somebody that keeps up with world events, and I've become a little bit of a news junkie. Sorry about that. But as I keep up with all of this, there's so much happening. And it seems like if you look at it through the lens of the Bible, it's pretty amazing to see what's going on. I opened up Facebook, which I happen to watch some influencers because of some investments and some business things, and then also to keep up with some of my friends. And here was somebody talking about the fact that the earth has about 6,000 years before Jesus returns from the time of Adam. And I'm like, I've been saying this for 20 years. And it's amazing when somebody actually agrees with you online. But there's so many people talking about this now, it's hard to ignore. But also when you look at all the deception that's going on, because you open up the news, and what should you believe? There was a period of time in Israel in the Old Testament where Israel was a prosperous nation at peace. And as people tend to do when they're at peace and prosperous, they move farther and farther from the law, farther and farther from truth, and more towards pleasure. And Hosea was lifted up as a prophet against the nation to warn Israel of what the Lord thought was going on. Hosea 4, hear the word of the Lord, O children of Israel, for the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. There is no faithfulness or steadfast love and no knowledge of God in the land. There is swearing, lying, murder, stealing, and committing of adultery. They break all bounds, and bloodshed follows bloodshed. Therefore the land mourns, and all who dwell in it languish. And also the beasts of the field, and the birds of the heavens, and even the fish of the sea are taken away. Creation was frustrated from God's intended purpose by the sins of man. We've talked about that. Yet no one contend, and no, let none accuse. For with you is my contention, O priest. You shall stumble by day, the prophet shall also stumble with you by night, and I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I reject you from being a priest to me. And since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. Israel as a nation suffered the judgment of God over and over and over again when they turned from the Lord and they turned from the way that he taught them. But he warned them every single time before he judged them. And he would bring up prophets to talk to the nation to turn away from their ways. Is America in somewhat that same situation? I would think so. I could go through all of Hosea, and if you have the time, read Hosea. It's a short book. It's the first of the minor prophets, minor not being the fact that it was lesser of importance, but they're shorter books, the 12 minor prophets. And it's a great book, 4 or 5 chapters for you to read. What's happening in the world today? AI is a big deal. And here at Liberty Heights, I don't think AI is probably affecting you all of that much. But it's affecting the world around you at a rate that you would not believe. A year ago, it was being talked about. I have customers in various industries, legal and accounting and construction and real estate, country clubs, insurance, all of them are embracing AI. Why? I was speaking with a good friend of mine and an attorney, and he's in practice with his son and a couple of other people, and they all work out of their houses. And David said, Scott, what used to take me 5 hours to review a lease for a customer, I can feed it into AI in 5 minutes, have the same result. 5 minutes. Most of my customers, if they are large enough, are hiring an AI person to transform their business, to use AI. At the root of that is the fact that they will save money by hiring fewer people to do the same job. Automation always does that. Automation allows a company, and we saw this with the age of the industrial age and machines being able to do the work of humans, but we are seeing this happen at the rate that's amazing. I interviewed a guy for a position in my company that was with a large tech firm. And I said, why'd you leave? And he said, my entire department. They walked in and said, you're being replaced by AI. Hundreds and hundreds of people, they just walked in and said, your jobs are no longer relevant because we've got a machine that can do what you did. Elon Musk says work will be optional in a few short years. That machines will be able to do everything. And you think that's crazy, but the fact of the matter is the more AI does, the more it can do. Because AI, which I believe at heart is demonic, learns. And the faster it learns, the faster it learns. The more it learns, the more it learns. And at some point in time, these machines will consider us as humans inefficient and irrelevant. That sounds like science fiction, but it's true. We see this happening at a rate that's hard to imagine. And if you look at the news, they talk about it a little bit. But if you're out on the streets now, you can see not only with large companies, but with small companies, it's happening every day. And by next year, we're going to see companies replacing people with computers at a rate that's hard to imagine. There's going to be a real disruption. Now, should we say AI is irrelevant and we can't use it? Foreign countries are racing to develop it. If you go to a factory in China, there are factories with robots doing all of the work, and they don't even need lights on in the factories because there are no humans. There are owners and CEOs of manufacturing companies that have seen these plants in China, and they come back scared to death. This is a real competition amongst all the countries in the world. Will AI take over and replace humans and kill us off? I've got a book here that says it won't. It's called the Bible. Prophecy is a very powerful thing to comfort us in times like this. We live in a country that has leaders on both sides of the aisle that are so corrupt, it's hard to imagine. 80 to 90% of the people in the United States want the Save America Act to be passed. Will our leaders do it? No. Why? Because it threatens their power. It threatens their ability to get reelected. There's a game up in Washington and most of the states where the incumbents have figured out a way to stay in power, and they're drunk with power on both sides of the aisle. Why do they want to stay in power? One, to hide their corruption. You cannot make $174,000 a year and become a multimillionaire by accident. Yet it happens to members of Congress. I saw a famous California congresswoman, her stock trading compared to the S&P 500 and Warren Buffett. And Warren Buffett and the S&P pretty much stayed together. It was kind of interesting. And it went up over a period of time. And she soared past both of them. That doesn't happen by accident. That happens with corruption. And I'm not speaking Democrat versus Republican. Now, anybody that spends any time around me can figure out that I'm a staunch conservative. But it's on both sides of the aisle. California just passed a bill to make it illegal to film corruption. It's called the Nick Shirley Act. They're trying to make it illegal for reporters to go out and film corruption. Will it stand up in court? Probably not. How crazy is that? How corrupt is that? Euthanasia in Canada is now a booming business. If you're depressed, that's okay. Just go to this clinic and you can die. It sounds crazy, but it's the truth. And it's happening all over Western Europe. It's their cure. Just kill yourself. We'll help you. We'll make it painless until you wake up. And now we get to the point where I'm going to step on a few toes. And I understand that I might step on a few toes, but realize from up here, I've criticized Protestant churches, liberal Protestant pastors, the Santa Claus doctrine, the prosperity doctrine, the self-help doctrine being preached all over Protestant circles. Also realize that I have many, not a few, but many wonderful Christian Catholic friends who are Bible-believing, saved, as far as I can tell, people. They're some of my best friends. We can argue about the various theologies of many Protestant denominations at this point in time, and we can argue about the theology of the Catholic Church. Great debate. There are errors on both sides at this point in time. But when you have the leader of the Catholic Church, the Pope, doing what he did, and I'm not talking about his criticism of Trump at all. Look at Matthew 7. Verse 15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing but are inwardly ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. This month, during his apostolic journey to Algeria, Pope Leo XIV visited the Great Mosque of Algiers. What was a pope doing walking into a mosque? Expressing gratitude for being in a place that represents the space that belongs to God. Honoring it as a sacred venue for prayer, dialogue, and seeking the Most High. Let me tell you who Allah is. Satan. That would get me executed in most Muslim countries. There is this ecumenical push to merge Christianity and Islam. The Islamification of Western Europe is the reason, other than the fact that they're toothless, Western Europe did not join us in the war against Iran. Say what you will about the war in Iran, they refuse to help us. They're scared to death of their Muslim population. Their leaders are leading only because they have a small hold on power, but these elites are going to lose it here in the near future because the Islam takeover of Western Europe is almost complete. England is lost completely. There's no turning back. Is residents of England and Ireland are starting to stand up, but they're toothless and powerless. And it's happening here. Travel up to Plano, and you will find the Islamification of the Dallas-Fort Worth area. It's happening here in Rockwall and the surrounding area. They're trying to move in with their large Islamic centers. What do they want? Sharia law. Minneapolis, Detroit. You only have to travel around the country and realize that they are making gains. so quickly. And Islam is not our friend. Pope Leo posted a message on social media platform X while in Algiers, calling for a communion between Christians and Muslims under the patronage of the Virgin Mary. Now, I'm not going to start arguing with you about the worship of Virgin Mary, but communion between Muslims and Christians, it can't happen. Why is the Catholic Church doing this? Because Islam is winning and Catholicism is losing all across the world. If you travel to Africa, the Catholic Church has given itself over to the Muslims. There was a battle between Catholics and Muslims and the witch doctors in Africa 10 years ago. And they were vying for the hearts and minds of the people. And when the Muslims started winning, the Catholics gave in. Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world by far. And it is not a religion of peace. I'm sorry, it's not. Pope Leo, who I had higher hopes for when he came in, has realized that the future of the Catholic Church is in jeopardy of being taken over by the Muslims. And it's a gigantic cash machine that he feels like needs to be protected. And I wasn't planning on preaching this, but in Revelation, the church of the city of seven hills, which is Rome, go to Rome, look around, you'll see the seven hills. Rome has been known as the city of seven hills for thousands of years. Is picked up by a stork, which is an unclean bird, and carried away to the plains of Shinar, which is modern-day Babylon. That happens during the tribulation. The Catholic Church becomes fully incorporated into Islam during the tribulation. Now, we believe that we will be watching as Christians from the balcony, from the mezzanine, watching all of this happen. And I firmly believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. I think I can prove it, but we've done that so many times here, I won't get into it again. As we watch the corrupt church, because all Christians will be taken away up into heaven. That Catholic church that's left becomes fully integrated into Islam. His full message on X. Communion between Christians and Muslims takes shape under the mantle of Our Lady of Africa. Here in Algeria, the maternal love of Lala Mariam, Lady Mary, gathers everyone as children with our rich diversity and our shared aspiration for dignity, love, justice, and peace. In a world where division and war sowed to pain and death, living in unity and peace is a compelling sign. How crazy is that? Jesus said the world's going to hate us. But Pope Leo thinks we should all live in harmony together. It ain't gonna happen. It just isn't, and we can't give in to that. And the pressure in Western Europe is so great that its leaders are paralyzed. And we're getting there very quickly here in this country. The mayor of our largest city in the nation is openly Muslim and trying to put in Muslim policies and socialism and taxes people to death. It's crazy times that we live in. There are people on the right that say everything's going to be better and we're going to defeat corruption and this. It ain't going to happen. We know it from this Bible. But what else is happening in the world? There is a war right now. Now, the American people are not being horribly inconvenienced by a major war that's going on in the Middle East. When I drive up in a truck, by the way, that doesn't get great gas mileage and has a 25-gallon tank and I fill it up, I'm going to pay a few dollars more. But we're in the process of defeating the largest sponsor of terror in the world. And if they had a nuclear weapon, guess what would happen? Ayatollah Khomeini, before he died, was interviewed 6 months ago by a British reporter who walked in and observed the Ayatollah making breakfast for himself. And it was quiet, and finally the question was asked of the Ayatollah, when you get up in the morning, what do you think about? And he turned around and said, I only think about one thing, and that's wiping the Jews off the face of the earth. His particular sect and the IRGC leader's particular sect feel that their God-given duty is to bring about a conflagration, a worldwide war, so that the 12th Imam, who they believe never died but was just hidden away, will reappear as the Mahdi. And the Mahdi will bring about a caliphate, which is an Islamic governmental order to the world out of this tremendously violent world conflagration. The leaders of the IRGC have said over and over again that they don't care if Iran is wiped off the face of the earth. If they die, their God-given duty is to bring this about. The Quran, Islam, end times prophecies are remarkably similar to our end time prophecies, except everything is reversed. They think Jesus comes back, but only to correct the Christians that we're all wrong, that we should have been following Allah Satan. There is a deception that's allowed to be brought upon the world that Jesus said, if it were not for the Spirit of God, even the elect would be deceived. Chuck Missler said many years ago, and I think it was prophetic, that he believes that deception is that Allah is God and God is Satan. That it's a complete reversal, which is what the Quran teaches. This war, if it's successful, if this peace deal is successful, if the points that our government is trying to impose on Iran would bring about something that nobody has ever imagined. Now, Trump said there will be forever peace in the Middle East. Well, guess what? This doesn't say that. But there is a war in Ezekiel 37, 38, 39 that is talked about where Russia attacks Israel. And we've studied that here. It's a prophecy against Gog, Russia. In that God says he will put the hooks in the jaws of Russia to pull him down, even though he doesn't want to attack Israel, he will. And there's a giant war against Israel, who is living in peace. Now, prophecy advocates that have gone before have said, well, that just means they trust their army because there can never be peace in the Middle East. It can't happen. Guess what? In the next few weeks, a peace deal with Lebanon, where their government is going to go after Hezbollah, Hamas has been pretty well defeated. Iran is agreeing not to sponsor terrorism and give up their ambition for a nuclear device. They have been completely neutered in their abilities economically and militarily. Israel could find itself living in peace in the next few weeks. That's a huge, huge development when it comes to prophecy. Ezekiel 38:39. It talks about Russia coming down with hordes that will devour the land. I print this off in... Thus says the Lord God, are you he whom I spoke in my former days by my servants, the prophets of Israel, who in those days prophesied for years that I would bring you against them? But on that day, the day that Gog, Russia, shall come against the land of Israel, declares my God, my wrath will be roused in my anger. For in my jealousy and in my blazing wrath, I declare on that day shall be a great earthquake in the land of Israel. The fish of the sea and the birds of the heavens and the beasts of the field and all the creeping things that creep on the ground and all the people who are on the face of the earth shall quake at my presence. God stops this attack in a way that the world will know only God can stop it, and his people will realize that God is in charge, and it will turn them back to God. They will seek God when he stops this attack, and a remnant will be left. And oh, by the way, this attack will kill many in the coastlands, which is probably all over the earth. This is a big war. It is, and no nation on earth stands with Israel against this attack. If this happened today, would we stand with Israel? Absolutely. But 40 out of 47 senators this week voted to keep the United States from selling any weapons to Israel. Anti-Semitism is rising up all over. So, what I'm saying is that Russia says, verse 11, I will go up against a land of unwalled villages. I will fall upon a quiet people who dwell securely, all of them dwelling without walls and having no bars or gates. Israel in a state of peace. If we see that happen, then pack your bags. Because it may be time for the rapture. We do not know. And it's interesting. Jesus said the day or the hour. He didn't say the year. He said the day or the hour. We're in the season of the end times. There's no denying it anymore. As I've studied prophecy for 50 years as a hobby, as something that gives me a lens to watch the world events, people, especially in my family, have said, oh, it's going to happen. The rapture's going to happen tomorrow. It's going to happen in 6 months. There's no way. And I've always like, okay. Because when you look, the stage is being set, but the pieces weren't quite all there. And when you look at prophecy in the future, it's always darkly. Because the closer we get, the more we know. When you look at it this way, after it's already happened, you'll say, oh, well, it's said right here. Look how all of this fit together. So what I'm saying, looking this way, realize it's darkly, but the closer we get to it, the more things align with everything in here. And we say, wow, it sure sounds like we're in that season. And for the first time this year, late last year, this year, I've said, you know what? We're finally in that season where everything can play out very quickly. When I was a kid and my parents said the rapture was going to happen at any moment, our response was always, then why do we have to do our homework? Which was a good question. We continue on just like we should, doing business and making money and trying to get healthy and all the things that we do to live normal lives today, realizing that that time is just right here in front of us. And it could be 10 years, and it could be 20 years, and it could be tomorrow. But it makes it exciting to watch the news. Jesus said, I did not give you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of courage. When you open up the news, whether it's on TV or radio or online or whatever, look at it in this lens of prophecy and say, this is really an exciting time to watch and see what God is doing around the world. He's pulling the pieces together, and just as you go in and sit down and a venue and watch the orchestra get in and filter in, and the musicians filter in, and then you hear them tuning up, you realize the performance is about ready to start. What we see here should not scare us. It should excite us. And there will be inconveniences along the way. But realize across the world, we live a very, very sheltered Christian life. 70% of the world's children will not sleep in a bed tonight. They'll sleep on the floor. Millions and millions are persecuted for their faith all across the world. And many in the Middle East and other areas of the world wake up every morning to gunfire and bombs and conflagration that would be hard for us to imagine. We lead a very sheltered life. But it's a very exciting time to be alive. Realize that God is at work. God is in control. And He's moving everything, all these pieces together, for His return. In the same way that He does that across the world, remember that Romans 8 still exists. Everything that happens to you is there for a purpose. All things work together for good. Why? Because He's bringing us all home. This is not home. That's home up there. I did a funeral last week. And I've done too many over the last few years for our family. And God says that we are strangers and foreigners in a foreign land. I mean, we're sojourners in a foreign land. And we should be interested in what's going on here and certainly work hard to provide for ourselves and everything else. We have to live our lives. But home is up there. It's not here. We're citizens up there, not here. Christ came preaching the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of America. And we have to realize that. Father in heaven, we thank You that we can know that You're working together, everything together, in a perfect way to bring about the return of Your Son Jesus, to reign, to grab us up, and take us to be with Him in heaven forever and ever, and watch as the whole thing plays out that we've studied about all of our lives. And it's an exciting time to be alive. We'd ask that You give us courage and hope, and the light of Your love would shine through each one of us here at Liberty Heights this week. In Jesus' name, amen.